All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather and study your word. And today, with the world news, we especially want to think biblically about what's going on in the Middle East. We thank you for your faithfulness to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, what we're going to do, unless you boo me down, but we're going to hold off on the Ten Commandments for a couple weeks. But this is big, what's going on over in the Middle East with Hamas and the war in Israel. And so I thought we'd address that a little bit from what Scripture says, just about sort of anti-Semitism in general. And any questions, we'll just talk about it. Your thoughts, experiences, anything, a lot of folks in America have families over there. In fact, some 22 or so Americans have been killed, hostages taken. So, and I'll announce this now, but in the back, there are index cards. So if there's any topics you would like to see addressed, and doesn't have to be just this, but I thought this was rather timely. But any other topics that you would like to see addressed, we'll fill those out and drop it in the big offering basket back there. And if you want to drop money in, you can do that too. But first of all, Georgia and Scott are going to play HaTikvah, the Jewish national anthem. It is a beautiful song. So, George Scott. That's just beautiful. It's a 19th century poem about the longing in the Jewish heart for a homeland after dispersion for 2,000 years, just expressing the love of Israel for Haaretz, the land of Israel. And in 1948, that became the unofficial national anthem. And it wasn't until like 2000-something that became the official national anthem. So let me start with a quote, but you're all aware of what's going on in the news. So we're going to talk about that in a minute, but here's a sort of expressive. How many of you remember Golda Meir from Milwaukee, Wisconsin? She was born in, 1921 in Russia, moved to Palestine back then, from Milwaukee, and in 1969, she became Prime Minister of Israel. And this is one of the quotes that sort of expresses, that I am also grateful, she says, I'm also grateful that I live in a country whose people learned how to go on living in a sea of hatred without hating those who want to destroy them. She also, another quote, she said, she's called our Golda Meir. But if the Arabs put down their weapons today, there would be no more conflict. If the Jews put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. Okay, this is sort of the simmering, where does all this hatred come from? and we're going to talk about that. Another one, another quote, which is true for the United States: if Israel is not strong, there will be no peace. So why no peace? So what are the biblical, the historical background to all this? You know, sort of seeming rage, and you know, Friday was the day of rage that was proclaimed by Hamas around the world to protest those occupiers, Israel. So who are these people? What have you seen on the news, and what are your thoughts on, you know, have you seen the, you know, how many people have died? What are your thoughts? Judy. And news people and Congress people. So why do they claim that's true? What's that? Well, yeah, they don't want to believe what Scripture says. No, so I mean, we'll get to that. That's, you know, what is the root of all this? But just the surface symptoms. Why are the Hamas, why are they justified in doing what they do? I mean, from the world of the, from the view of those people, the world. Okay, and Al Mohler will, you know, go really straight to the, once again, the real root. But what is presented as an excuse, symptomatically, Sue. Yeah, right. So, and I won't go into all this if you, unless you want to, but, you know, people are ignorant. We are ignorant of our own history, but the history of what's going on and, you know, who the people are, who was in the land, you know, who are the quote unquote Palestinian people. That's, you know, historically, that's a made up name, you know, that, and so it's been turned around. They call it moral equivalency that, well, okay, killing babies is bad, but do you know what those Jews did to those people? Well, if they actually looked at history, you know, but you're not going to convince, because like Marilyn says, you know, people are going to be so blinded by their own ideology, and that's what Al Mohler in the Quran, you know, the religion of peace, but yet it actually says some of that stuff to exterminate the Jews. Kelvin.
Stirs up the most vile hatred. And this is a very young country, a very young group of people. They're like half of them are under 18. And so there's this endless supply of willing volunteers for violence.
Very good, yeah.
I'd say there are lots of things that you were talking about, the ignorance of history. The you know, the Palestinian people have always occupied us, other Jews were never here. You hear all these kind of crazy things that people say. But those folks are educated to it from their youth, and to convince them otherwise is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
It looks to me like it's Chicago with the Capone mob. You know, they own the politicians, they own the delivery of services. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
Are you saying Al Capone was a bad guy? I share his birthday. But exactly, you know, and that's another truism, how we educate our kids and what are they learning. But you know, Iran, the UN supports some of this stuff. In fact, did you ever see, I think it was on Al Jazeera, you didn't see this, but, you know, Mickey Mouse? Have you seen that? They have their own, you know, let's call it a Hamas version of Mickey Mouse. So you have this big mouse teaching little kids, what are we going to do to the Jews? We're going to slaughter them. You know, so this is what they're being brought up with, you know, hatred. You know, and some, and when we get to the root, we'll get there maybe next week or whenever, however long we want to discuss this. But what is the real root of this? But the world, and even the average Palestinian, average Hamas person, whence cometh this rage? You know, there's sort of the presenting issue, but then what's the root? We'll talk about that. But what are some other reasons? Like somebody, Sue said, colonizers. What are some other, any others you could think of? In fact, here, I saw something on. Does anybody get the Epic News? Yes, they're really good. But, you know, this is the talking heads on news trying to, you know, why can't they get along? Why can't those Jewish people accept these people? Well, a couple reasons. The seven reasons why Hamas started the war. I mean, these are just opinions that I'm sharing, but you can see some of the truth in this. The appearance of Israeli weakness. You know, what's been going on over there with the judicial reform, the bickering in there. You know, so it seems like they're disunited. And oh, by the way, remember, this is 50 years, almost to the day, from the Yom Kippur War. So, you know, Israel was caught off guard in 1973. Now, 50 years later, you know, so that could be a convenient date. But, you know, they're a good time to strike a blow for freedom. Okay, here's this one I can definitely see. And Scott, you'll appreciate this. Trap Israel into overreaction. So all this baby slaughtering, you know, all the horrific things. But if Israel, you know, goes in and does what I think any sane nation would do, pretty soon people are going to be saying, oh, you're being awfully mean. You're overreacting. I mean, already people are saying, you know, let's just have a ceasefire. Let's, you know, stop right now. But, you know, obviously letting, when bad guys don't get punished, you're going to get more of it. So damaging Israeli relationship with Islamic nations. Have you heard of the Abraham Accords? Okay, that's in the news. That's Israel is actually coming close to peace, actual peace with some of their Arab neighbors like Saudi Arabia. Think about that. Iran, especially Russia, does not want that to happen, because if Israel starts getting normalized, that's going to make it a lot tougher for the bad apples like Hamas in the region. And that's disrupt the expanding peace. Disrupt Israel's growing energy business. Israel is on the cutting edge of energy production. Who does that threaten? Iran, maybe even Saudi Arabia, Russia. You know, we don't want Israel, you know, providing energy to Europe. They're going to be providing energy to Europe. You know, Russia wants to keep Israel on their tap. This one I thought was pretty interesting. But Iran needs a war to keep the Islamists in power. If you've seen the news in Tehran, young people, the revolutionaries who started, remember the Iran hostage, you know, the young people that threw out the Shah in America back in 79, those young people are getting restless. And they don't like being squashed by the Ayatollahs. So, sort of like a wag the dog. Hey, if we can distract them, you go fight those Israelis. Don't fight us. Don't protest your government. You go fight Israel. the weakness of America. If there's a power vacuum, notice a lot of things that have, because if America isn't strong, that destabilizes world events. And then, and that's tied into, you know, hardening or escalating the East-West tension, you know, sort of makes America look weak in the region. Russia has been a supporter of Syria and Iran, and they have supported Hamas. In fact, we'll talk about it, we'll show you in just a minute, but in 1964, the Soviet Union was actually part of starting the PLO, so that, remember Yasser Arafat, you know, to be the representative for all the Palestinian people. Well, you know, that's, maybe there's other agendas there. So any other comments or questions about that? Scott, yeah.
Probably a silly question. He asked, so what do you guys do for peacetime training? And the general looked at it and said, my son, you do not have peacetime.
Yeah, and I mean, think about that. Little Israel, just, you know, the Jewish people, of course I'm biased, but just the only real democracy in all of the Middle East. Little Israel is surrounded by hundreds of millions of Arabs, you know, they're not Arabs, we call them that, but, Muslims, you know, there's, we can talk about this more later if you're interested, but the doctrines, the history of Islam, you know, Sunni Muslims and the Shiites, and so, you know, who's who. But yeah, that's just the, and that goes back to that quote, peace has been, you know, if they only had their own state. Israel has offered them a state several times, and it's rejected. The UN partition plan in 1947, when Israel became a nation, Israel was going to be a lot smaller in their ancestral, that's, you know, of course, people will dispute. The Jews were never in that homeland. We know better. But, they were offered a small state and said, we'll take it. And the Arabs said no. And they attacked Israel, you know, in the war for independence. And so then Israel ends up with more land than they would have gotten in the UN partition plan. And so then all of a sudden the Arabs, oh, we want that partition plan now. Too late. Other wars we can talk about if you want. But how Israel has ended up with a lot more property that the Palestinians are claiming, well, that's our land, we want it back. We shouldn't have started a war. You know, sometimes people lose in wars. Kelvin. Yeah. Yeah.
The thought was some people were saying this is, you know, this was a deliberate layout. You go out and you strike it in as horrific a way as possible, and then you pull back into that defensive position.
Behind hostages and kids, their own people.
There's a lobby there that bisects the Gaza Strip, and there's a main north-south road, and they shut that down.
Yeah. Those sweet, innocent people, which some of them are, but Hamas is pushing them forward. Yeah, that's, you know, Israel has warned, we're coming in, we're coming in, we're cleaning out Hamas. Gazan people, Gaza Strip, you Palestinian people, move south, but the Hamas won't let them move, get out of the way. And so Israel has set up aid centers, hospitals, you know, we're coming in. There's going to be collateral damage, but we are trying to fight a just war here. And Hamas is... And Egypt won't let him out the south.
See. And then, of course, domestically, if he doesn't go in and do what he said, and Netanyahu doesn't pursue, then he's going to be roasted by domestic political pressure, because if you talk about the percentages of people, everybody knows somebody who lost somebody in that.
Yeah, and have you've heard the numbers. How many people have, are they estimated? How many Israelis have been killed? Has anybody heard? Yeah, now. And 29, is it American? But, Calvin brought up Israel saying that's our 9/11. Oh, come on. If you go by population size, that's the equivalent of 40 or 50,000 Americans being killed. So you tell me if the United States would sit by, well, did we sit by when a mere 3,000, people with our population, Israel's population is 12 or 13 million, we're 360 million, whatever it is. So, yeah, it's, we Americans are pretty self-centered. We don't think. And we like to tell other countries, you need to be restrain yourself. You need to, I'd like somebody to stand up and say, when are you Americans going to, what would you do? So any other comments, questions about that? Yeah, this is really serious, folks. That's why I thought we'd talk about it. Okay, so who are some of the players? Okay, so the PLO, I told you, remember that guy, Yasser Arafat? I can't go backwards. But old Yasser Arafat, 1964, they became the umbrella organization for the Palestine Liberation Organization. They were initially formed with Soviet Marxist help, but to represent, to keep the Palestinian, quote-unquote, people an issue, so that the world, we could constantly point at Israel and say, look what they're doing, what they're colonizing, all this stuff. And but then, it's like 91 or 93, they accepted some of the accords. I won't bore you with all the Oslo Accords and all these Camp David and, peace processes, where they accepted, PLO accepted officially on their website, accepted Israel could be a nation. But they, out of this offshoots comes a lot of these other organizations. So the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, okay, his party's a Fatah party, but he's in mainly now the so-called West Bank, Judea and Samaria. And so Israel allows them a lot of autonomy, and it's Palestinian Authority, then the Palestinian National Authority, and now they call themselves the Palestinian State. Anybody know where all those colors on the flag come from? If you look at a lot of the Arab and Middle East and North African flags, those are the colors, and usually in all the flags. You know where those come from? Yeah, those are from the different caliphates. Muslim, you know what a caliphate is? It's like a Islamic religious empire, we'll call it. And so so the white was one of the first Islamic caliphates, the white, the Umayyad caliphate, black, the Abbasid caliphate, the green was a Fatimid caliphate. Are you glad you know this? You're going to win a trivia show. And then the red, little red is the color of the Ottoman caliphate. So this is you know, just a flag even, sort of remembering the glory days of Islam in the region. So anyway, that's the Palestinian flag, the official flag, and that's the one you see waving around a lot. So then who is Hamas? Hamas is also known as the Islamic Resistance Movement. It was formed in 1987 as the Palestinian version of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a, we'll talk about that in a minute, but sort of the central area. And in Gaza, they are in control. It was part of the Palestinian state, but they had elections in 2006, I think, and Hamas basically threw Mahmoud Abbas and the Fatah, the other party, threw the other Palestinians, threw them out so that they control Gaza. That's what we're seeing. And then the Palestinian Authority, or Fatah, controls the West Bank. But they received their funding from other Arab countries, and, you know, especially Iran. And they're committed to the destruction of Israel. That's a big thing. And they, you know, terror operations, and also in Jordan, or any other Palestinians that aren't being, you know, aren't being zealous enough. They will kill their own people, you know, because we don't think you're being enough of a jihad. In their official charter or covenant, and you can go online, they advertise this. You know, they're open about this. One of their articles says, there is no solution to the Palestinian problem except by jihad. The initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are but a waste of time and exercise in futility. So, you know, that's, and I probably agree with them on that, you know, talking about this stuff, you're not going to, yeah, it's probably not going to have much success. So they just go right to jihad. You know, that word means struggle. And usually the we think of the outward, you know, warfare type struggle. Now, recently, Hamas, as on their website, said, oh, we, you know, we just want our own state, which of course has been offered many a time. And their idea of, we just want a Palestinian state. But the only thing is, their version of a Palestinian state is, they say, from the river to the sea. So in other words, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. They think, we just want the state that is our homeland, which is all Israel. So, Jews, you got to go. We want to wipe you out so we can have our state. So nice of them to, you know. So that's Hamas. But then also you hear about Hezbollah, which is called the Party of God. This is, where's Bill? Bill, you know about the Hezbollah up in Lebanon. And so these guys are a Shiite, other branch of Islam, supported and funded an outgrowth of Iran. And so now they're starting to, you know, Israel's occupied in Gaza, up north, in Galilee. Hezbollah's starting to stir up trouble. So Hamas and Hezbollah don't coordinate or get along very well, except when we're killing Jews. So Hezbollah's a Shiite group. And it was, you know, initially during the 80s war in Lebanon, it was initially formed to drive those Israeli conquerors out, you know, their view, Israeli conquerors out of Lebanon. But then, you know, once Israel pulled back, then they became committed to the destruction of Israel. The Muslim Brotherhood. This was an organization founded way back in 1928 in Egypt, and it was sort of a pan-Muslim, you know, it was a social organization, and ostensibly they were going to do all sorts of good things and, you know, encourage Allah, you know, worship of Allah, The Quran is our law. The Prophet Muhammad is our leader. Jihad is our way. And death for the sake of Allah is the highest of our aspirations. So it sort of started off, you know, has a nice website type of thing. But then these militant groups come out of that. And that's some of these players we're talking about. By the way, if any of you remember, back in 1981, they were behind the assassination of Anwar Sadat. Remember him in the Yom Kippur War? And he made peace with Israel. Well, how dare he? And so Egypt actually has a peace with Israel. Well, Muslim Brotherhood didn't tolerate that well. All right, and then we'll just breeze through a couple of these other ones. Fatah, that's the sort of the political party, if you will, of the West Bank. That's Mahmoud Abbas. That's the largest Palestinian party, offshoot of Muslim Brotherhood, but in Israel. And that's the largest group that got kicked out of Gaza. So Hamas is in Gaza. Fatah is up in the so-called West Bank. That's a good name, right? And see, look at their patches. It's got a picture of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Of course, they all have guns on their flags. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad. I mean, these are nice names. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. You know, there's just all sorts of offshoots. And the only thing that unifies them is hatred of the Jewish people. That one was used to be the personal security force of Yasser Arafat. And so there's like Kelvin was saying. Look at that, can you see the little kid? See, that's what they teach their children. And then here's an offshoot of an offshoot. Remember this guy? You know, Al-Qaeda, and, founded by Osama bin Laden. Sometime, and you know what they did. So, any comments or questions about that?
Yeah. Steve, you talked about Jerusalem. In the 67 war, there was, they didn't know they were going so fast. I mean, the fact that they were so successful, the Israelis were so successful, was a surprise to them, and they were knocking on the door of Jerusalem. And they actually had to stop and discuss that, whether they were going to go into Jerusalem, because at the time that was not Israeli. It was an international kind of city where Jews could go in, Palestinians could go in, but you had to have a permit sort of to live in there, kind of like Berlin was. And they discussed it hard before they actually went in and took Jerusalem. And every conservative president, until Trump promised to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but that was so political, nobody actually did it until Trump did it.
Yeah, that's been the stated policy of the United States. Congress passed a resolution recognizing Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, but no president, Republican or Democrat, has ever moved the embassy until now. And then once we did back in 2017, other countries have now started. And of course, that's something Hamas.
That Jerusalem is a big part of the Palestinian state. If it doesn't include Jerusalem, it doesn't count to them.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, if you know the history, and maybe we'll talk about it if you want. If you don't, just tell me to lump it. But the Islam, three holy cities, Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem. Because supposedly that's where Muhammad was ascended to heaven, the Al-Quds, the Temple Mount, where the Dome of the Rock is, up there, which is the location where the Solomon's Temple once stood there. So when you hear the Western Wall, the Temple Mount, you know, that's our holy city. You've got two others. Give us one, says the Jewish people. It's under the control of, I think, Sunni, because that's, I'm not 100% sure, but that's, you know, the Sunnis, Lebanon, not Lebanon, Jordan. And so those who are allowed by Israel. So imagine, see, this is the way I imagine in Washington, D.C. We're in America, but you know that, I don't know, the hostile Canadians, no, said, you know, we once owned Washington, D.C., so we want Washington, D.C. And America says, okay, for the sake of peace, we will allow you to administer Washington, D.C., even though it's in the middle of America. You know, so this is, have any of you ever been up on the Temple Mount? Good. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, and that's, you know, well, I'm biased, sorry. Okay, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 83. So, you know, I wanted to start off with the history and what's going on in the news. But where does all this hatred come from? And why the Jewish people? And how is that related to the Jewish people's God? Which then, of course, we Christians have, I won't say the same God, but, the one true God. Why is there such animosity? And did this start in 1947? No. In fact, we're just going to look at one passage, a psalm that deals with this. And then maybe if you want to, we'll look at the real spiritual root of where all this comes from. So Psalm 83. So verse 1, it's called a lament psalm, a national lament that starts with prayer. Then there's, oh God, but look at these people. And then it ends up with what's called an imprecation. God, do to them like they're doing to us. And part of that is because we represent you. When they attack us, they're attacking you, God. So defend yourself. So verse 1. And this is a psalm of Asaph, it's the last of his psalms. So a prayer for God's action. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. So act on behalf of your people. Sort of an urgency. Do not. Because, verses 2-4, the plottings of the enemies. Verse 2, for behold, your enemies make a tumult. Some of your translations are a stir. And those who hate you, God, have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones, those you cherish, God's people. They hate you, God, so they are attacking your people. This is Israel back in, David's day. Look at verse 4. You tell me if this isn't almost out of the Hamas charter. They have said, come and let us cut them off, Israel, from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. You tell me if that's not. So this is nothing new. People have always hated God and his people, and of course, the persecution of Christians today. John and Peg have seen this around the world a lot. So then the greatness of the opposition, remember Israel's a little country surrounded by, and even back in the day, just this little country of Israel, God's people, had many enemies. For they have consulted together with one consent, or one mind or heart. They form a confederacy, or literally a covenant, against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria has also joined them. They have helped the children of Lot. Selah. So the enemies of God's people, there's, you know, troublers. If you, I won't go into this now, but remember in the history of the Old Testament, but Edom, Ishmael was the son of Hagar, the handmaid. And that's where the Islam traces its root. They like Abraham. Oh, we like Abraham, but we like his son Ishmael versus the chosen son Isaac. Moab, you know what they did, if you remember. Eglon, the big fat king. But the Hagarites, Ammon, Philistia, remember the Philistines, ancient, always Ammon, Amalek, that's, you know, Esau, comes from Esau. Then there were some that are, we consider seducers, Gebal and Tyre, where they tried to corrupt Israel with their gods, Baal, and, you know, commercialization, Phoenicia, that's where Tyre was a great port city. But then there are also oppressors like Assyria that actually conquered and scattered Israel. So the enemies are great, the enemies of God's people. So then the greatness then of Israel's God, and notice this structure. So the emphasis here is, look how bad sin is. Look how big grace is. Gee, I've heard that somewhere. Where's that from? Some brilliant guy said that once. But this is sort of the emphasis of the whole psalm. So the greatness of God's, God in Israel's history, verses 9 to 12. So now deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook of Kishon. Those are all, you know, from Judges, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for possession. So they're rehearsing, you know, God's faithfulness in protecting Israel. You know, we won't spend time, but all those Old Testament stories of enemies that God wiped, took care of for Israel, and these people that wanting Israel's land. That sounds familiar. So the greatness of God's acts in Israel's history. And this is, once again, what's called an imprecation, sort of the prayer. I mean, this sounds harsh to us. Oh, we need to love them and be nice to them. And yes, but what will they understand? This is called imprecation. And so, you know, they're saying, God, do to them like they do to us, because what they're doing to us, they are doing to you. So it's not self-centered, me, me, me. It's God, your righteousness and holiness is at stake. Defend yourself. So it's a, you know, we could learn that. It's a God-centered concern, not our own personal selfish concern. So they're reminding, this is very important in Scripture, the past faithfulness, the past action of God, and he's a consistent, immutable God, so then he will be consistent and true justice in the future. So, okay, then shaming of the enemies. Verses 13 to 16. Listen to this. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust. Some of your translations say tumbleweed. Like the chaff before the wind. As the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. We know about that, don't we? So pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame. That, so why are we doing them? It's not just let's get even. We want you to get them, God. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name. O Lord, Yahweh, the covenant name. God punished them so they are made painfully aware of the one true God and bow in submission to you. I like that. So that is love, real love, tough love sometimes. you know, we're awfully misinformed about what love is in Gushy and, you know, and appease bullies and stuff. Then finally back to then a prayer for God's action. Verses 17 and 18. Actually, and notice that in the enemy, God's a consuming fire. That's Hebrews said that, which, you know, consume them, cause shame so that they will see you. And so verses 17 and 18. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that, here's the reason, men may know that you, whose name alone is Yahweh, are the Most High over all the earth. You know, there's not part of the world that's ruled by Allah, part that's ruled by fill in the blank. No, one true God rules over all the earth, and ultimately every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Just how long does it take in the meantime? So once again, God act, shame them so that they know the name of the Lord. So even, the, you know, that's, I think I wrote some notes in here. Psalm 83 is the PLO psalm. You know, this is this type of enemies of God from time immemorial. Immemorial. You know, people have hated God, and we'll go way back, probably next week, or if you want to look at some more. So just a couple takeaways. God will act against his enemies. And that, you know, includes against his people, of which we are the, we'll call it the culmination, because, you know, we have Jesus. But don't mess with God. Yeah, we want to make sure we're on his side, not a... Yeah, that's a... Was that a... I'm looking at Scott. Was that a Robert E. Lee? You know, somebody in the Civil War, you know, we had Americans on both sides, and whose side is God on? And I want to say it's Robert E. Lee. It sounds like him. Grant was probably smoking a cigar, so it couldn't have been Grant. But General, is God on our side or on the North side? Robert E. Lee said, what's important is that we're on his side. Now, he's one of my heroes, a noble man. So, and then his glory, God's glory is tied to Israel. And here's, you know, this is a hot button issue with me. You know, the Jewish people right now don't have a Messiah, the majority of them. They're dying and going to hell. Okay, that's a fact. But they are still God's people, and he has a future plan for them. But just here in Isaiah 46:13, I will bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion, Jerusalem, for Israel, my glory. I like that. And then, of course, this is Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Have any of you ever been to Masada? You know, the old Roman fortress, Herod's bastion overlooking the Dead Sea. But there's an Israeli flag. I don't know if the whole IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, the Army, or if it's just the Air Force, but they have their commissioning on top of Masada, you know, when the, you know, the graduate boot camp, and they swear, you know, whatever, allegiance to the state or whatever. And part of it is never again will we be, you know, wiped out, led like lambs to the slaughter. And that's what's sort of disturbing about this is, seems like Israel got a little complacent, and they've now had this attack that's come. Any final questions? Sorry, we're a little late, but Laura.
Some of the commentators are saying that after the Muslims annihilate Israel, that they will then turn toward Christianity as the enemy.
Well, you know, and just now, they don't even know why, I think. But remember Ayatollah Khomeini back in 79? He's the one that coined the phrase, the great Satan. United States, Israel was a little Satan. And Russia back then was a lesser Satan. But this idea of why do they hate us? Well, you know, we've got a decadent society. I mean, there's lots of surface issues. But I would argue, ultimately, the root is because we support Israel. There's a spiritual basis for this that I will talk about maybe next week. You know, where does that come from? So they, yes, they hate the United States. And then the Jewish religion, what came out of Judaism? Christianity. And so by extension, we don't accept Muhammad as the final prophet, because he's a, you know, a prophet of a false god, if you know the history of Islam. And so it's our duty, it's our loving jihadist duty to slaughter those infidels. You know, we used to say, what, kill a commie for Christ. Well, they're going to kill a Christian for Islam. Bill.
I think it's more important to say, instead of we're being on God's side, that God's on our side.
Ultimately, yeah. Yeah, we want to do our best to be on God's side. But are we the type of people that God is going to be on their side? Yeah. Any other questions? Is this helpful? Do you want to go ahead? A couple, like four, one on the history of the land and, you know, the presenting issues, you know, well, if we just had our state, you know, so one on the land, I was thinking maybe one on the history and doctrines of Islam. And then, for sure, at least one more, where did this all begin? Spoiler alert, the very beginning. The very left-hand part of your Bible is where this all began. So is this helpful or no? I mean, I could go on for 50 weeks if you want. Probably not. All right, so anyway, we'll pick up with something next week, but. Thank you. I hope this was helpful. You know, because this is the news, and sometimes the Bible does not, you know, directly, you know, address. But this is a topic, just the enemies of God and Israel, and by extension, Christians. This is Scripture is replete with examples of persecution. So, any other questions? Scott, would you pray for us, please?